How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Awesome. What a neat morning. As I was listening to a lot of our college students' prayer requests, it was very fitting with the text today. We're going to be talking. We're going to be looking at John 14, 1 through 14, and Jesus is dealing with the way. To him, and I think a lot of times life can feel a bit chaotic. We're not sure where we're going, but we can rest easy because we have a Savior who is the way. Amen? Amen. So we don't need to know where we're going because Jesus does. So why don't you open with me? We're going to look at John 14, 1 through 14 today, and the words should be up here on the screen. Oh, there it is. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let's pray. Lord God, I just pray that in this season of our lives, if we're feeling lost or uncertain, God, that you would be giving us certainty in the steadfastness of Christ. And God, I just pray that as we look at your word today, that you would be honored, you would be glorified in our thoughts, in our minds. And Lord, that you would be applying these thoughts into our actions, that we would be following you earnestly and with excitement for what you're going to do through us. May you be praised. Amen. So as I was looking at a topic for the message this week, there was a lot of things going through my head, but something that kept coming back again and again was being near to God. And so the sermon title is, Don't Miss Out on Being Near to God. And as I was meditating and thinking on that, I was thinking about, like, you know, holding on to God or grasping on to God or hanging tight on to God. Because I think that speaks to my weakness. I have a tendency to want to do, right? And I think that's pretty common for a lot of us to feel like we need to, like, do something or we need to make something happen. We need to make the way, right? And so I'm thinking in those places, I'm going, all right, what? I want to cling on to Jesus. And there's no shame in running after Jesus. It says in Scripture to run the good race, right? But I think a lot of times we get caught up in what we want. And sometimes we end up getting confused with what we want versus what God wants. And when we start to put these priorities on our actions, which are not necessary, we get lost. And so as I thought more about it and looked at the text more, I thought, what a neat concept. Jesus has done it. Amen? It's paid for. Sin and death have lost their sting. It's all paid for. It's been finished. And so we can rest in Jesus. And as I thought about that, I thought about a song that Casting Crowns wrote. It's called Just Be Held. And in the chorus it says, "So when you're on your knees and an answer seems so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held." It's a simple and beautiful concept. And this text, I think, in many ways, is simple and beautiful. But at the same time, like everything in Scripture, right, the words have amazing weight and depth and breadth and life. But oftentimes, we can get so focused on the weight that we don't rest in the simplicity, right? And the weight is there because Scripture is dealing with the incomprehensible character of an infinitely awesome God. We cannot wrap our minds around the character of God. And we try again, but we can't do it. And sometimes I've been meeting with John, and I hope I don't misquote him. John, I apologize if I do. There's John. John, love you. But we've been meeting and we've been talking about Scripture, and John has just this beautiful depth and wealth of understanding of Scripture, and such a beautiful way of looking at Scripture. And he's been teaching me and guiding me and encouraging me to look at the depth. But something John said early on, and this is where I may misquote him, again, apologies to John, is that at its core, at what it is to be a believer, it's simple, yeah? And we can get really nerdy about what Scripture says. And John says a lot of times in the nerdiness, we get a bit lost, yeah? So, my encouragement today is let's think simply and let's rest, let's be held by Jesus. As we look at this text, Jesus is with the apostles. The apostles have walked with Jesus. They've seen him do the Father's work. They've seen him walk on water. They've worshiped him as the Son of God. They know Jesus. And yet, as Jesus is laying out the foundations and giving them the direction that they're to go, the way we're going, there's confusion, there's doubt, and there's this sense of being lost. Yeah? And as we are looking at the college students today and where they're going after college, what do we see a lot of? Where am I going? Yeah? And I think for most of us, this isn't just for the college students. I think, and I know these guys, I'm wandering, Bob, sorry. But I think for most of us, yeah, this is a pretty common place to be. I think there's a lot of seasons in life where we don't really know where we're going. Maybe we're in the daily steps of, you know, I've got to go to work, I've got to do this thing. But as far as understanding what is God doing with me in this season, there can often be seasons of feeling lost. And I think Jesus knew that that was going to be at the heart of the apostles. And so what's he start this text off with? What's he say first? Anyone? Let not your hearts be troubled. Because that's just something encouraging to say. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You don't need to be troubled in the mystery that is life. Amen? So let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself. What an amazing statement. This takes this concept from a place to a person. Jesus is saying, I will bring you to myself. That where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? I think this is great because it reminds me a lot of myself. As I was reading the passage, I was thinking about, for many of you that know me, I'm a very distractible person. It's very easy to get me distracted. And in college, I was even more so. I remember a math class that I was sitting in, and there was a fly. I think some of you know where this is going, but there's a fly, right? And the fly goes to the window, yeah? And I look at the window. Oh, it's beautiful outside. The sun is shining, and I start to fantasize about all the amazing things I'm going to do this afternoon. And I get stuck. And the next thing I know, class is over, and I learned a whole lot of nothing, right? It's easy to get distracted. We live in a noisy world, right? It's noisy. I was at a little getaway, or like a recovery pastor thing, a week or so ago, and the focus was on we were dealing a lot with the noisiness of society today. There's a lot of noise, and we're so connected. Yeah, we've got phones. I don't have a phone on me right now. I was going to grab it, pull it out. A good example. Nope. But we have our phones. They're constantly going off. We're getting texts. We're getting phone calls. We're getting Facebook messages. You know, we're on Facebook. And guess what? There's a whole lot of noise. It's noisy. Amen? It's noisy. And so it's easy to get distracted. Just like I am right now. So I think that there is, you know, Thomas is giving us this good example of somebody who thinks he missed something. He's doubting what he understands, and he's asking Jesus, wait a minute, where are we going? How are we getting there? What are you saying? And Jesus had already talked to them about this. In John 7:33, it says, yet a little while I am with you. And then I go to be with him who sent me. So they knew, or should know, but missed it, and they're asking these questions. But I want to encourage you, there's no shame in asking the questions. It's okay to feel a little lost, and it's good to ask questions. It's good to get encouragement. Matthew 7:7, seek and you will find. Yes. Yes. Can any of you relate with Thomas's statement today? I just want to take a second. Just think about life. Think about the noisiness of life. Think about where you're going. Yeah? And can you relate? God, where am I going? My wife and I, Kim, had been discussing this text a lot of back and forth on the text. And as she was laying in bed praying at night, she had this word come to her that I thought was really profound. Blessed is the one who does not know where they are going, but walks hand in hand with the Lord. So often we don't know where we're going. And for some of us, that can be really unsettling. It was for Thomas, right? He was unsettled in the not knowing. But even in what Thomas had to say, a most amazing, timeless truth followed. It prompted Jesus to say something that we can hold on to in the mystery that is today. And what does Jesus say? I am. Let's try it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is amazingly profound for us today, but I can tell you that it would have been even so more, much more profound for the Jews at that time. There is a lot of emphasis throughout Scripture on the way. In Deuteronomy 5:32-33, it says, "You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded." And Moses says, "For I know," this is Deuteronomy 31:29, "for I know that after my death you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you." In Isaiah 30:21, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." In Psalm 27:11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path." There's a lot of direction and talk about the way. So what does this mean? What is this, I am the way? What's this even mean? Well, the way I think of it, let's pretend none of us have GPS, okay? And you're in a new place, and you stop to get directions. Some of us can relate because they lived when there wasn't GPS, and they've done this, yeah? They stop to get directions, and the person says, "No problem. Go down on the second light, take a right. Go like 3 blocks, take a left. You'll go over a bridge, then take a right. If you go about 1.5 miles, there's going to be a white church on the left. Go right. Go until the stop sign, take a left, it'll be right on the right." And how many of us get about halfway there and are like, "I have no clue where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going." But if that person says, "Come with me, I'll take you there," then they are the way, yeah? And Jesus is the way for us. He doesn't tell us the way. He is the way. Are you resting in Jesus today? Are you resting in Jesus today? And then he says, "I'm the truth." Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me the way, or thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth." Many of us have taken classes, right? Or we've got a bunch of college students. They've taken classes. They've gone and done chemistry or Latin, probably not that as much, but geometry, calculus. And in those classes, the teachers did their very best to teach them the truth, right? And throughout life, we have opportunities to learn from a lot of people the truth. They can tell you about the truth. Somebody's in this back room ringing. Shame. I can say it. It's my father. no shame. No shame, Dad. Return to your seat with grace, Father. All right. Distracted, right? The fly. Okay. But, okay. So many people will tell you the truth. But to really teach moral truth, you need to embody it, yeah? You're not going to go to somebody who is suffering severely from something and then seek guidance from them on that same thing. That's not likely anyway. Well, Jesus embodies the ultimate moral truth, okay? He lived a perfect life, free of sin. He lived the ultimate moral truth. And teaching moral truth can't be conveyed solely in words. It must be conveyed in example, and he gives us the best example. And then he says, and I'm the life. And when I look at that, I think about what makes life worth living. I'll let you think on that for a second. What makes life worth living? A lot of times we get hung up on one thing or another. I think of like fantasy novels or romance novels where, you know, the prince and the princess look each other in the eyes and suddenly it's life anew. Yeah? Well, Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of that. He gives the wholeness, that life anew experience completely in him. So what happens when we put these realities together? Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He alone is the way to God. He embodies the likeness of God completely. And unadulterated truth. And he alone can lead us into God's presence without fear or shame. Thus we can truly live. God is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a lot of great things we can talk about the rest of this text. I'm not going to get into it today because I think that's enough. But where are you at today? Are you feeling lost? Are you feeling like you don't know where God is taking you? I want to encourage you, you can rest in God. And that doesn't mean it's easy. I'm not trying to say it's easy. But I'm saying that Jesus can take you there. He is the way. He will hold your hand and carry you and walk with you to the destination if you let him. But if we're getting caught up in the noise, if we're getting distracted, then oftentimes our lives and our hearts are filled with chaos. And that's why he started by saying, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And then I'm going to pray for you guys today. Does that sound good? How are we doing? We doing good? Awesome. I'm really excited. I think that there is a season of growth for us. I think that there is a season where we can go and be participants in our faith. Amen. And I'm excited about that. But as I look around and I look at being here for the history of the church, I see that there's often issues with distraction. And so what I want to encourage you with today is let's not get distracted by the noise. Let's celebrate in the unity that we have in Christ Jesus, and let's go glorify his name in our actions and deeds. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this day. God, I just pray that you would be giving us rest in your way. God, give us rest in your way. Lord, ease our minds. Bring peace to our troubled souls and allow us to rest in your way. God, bind us together. Bring us together, Lord. Allow us to be builders, encouragers. As we grow together and go out to serve the community, this area, and around the world to glorify your name in our lives and on all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.